We're learning a Maimor by the Rebbe, Tavshin Chovach, that means 1965. In this Maimor was pronounced Simchas Torah. And the Maimor talks about one of the chapters in Tehillim, in Psalms. Simchas Torah is like the end of all the holidays of Tishrei, the seventh month in the Jewish calendar. And basically, the verse says that the non-Jews should praise God. And the Rebbe brought basically two explanations, either that the non-Jews praise God, and why do they do that? Because God was very good with us. And what does that mean? Because we offered 70 bulls in Sukkos, that generates also in the temple, etc., that generates kindness of God to the non-Jews. So again, through that we did this work, etc., etc., so people should praise. And there's another explanation, the other way around. No, that through that the non-Jews praise God, through that the Jews have something more. Gavar aleinu chastoi. The kindness of God is so powerful on us, on the Jews. So the Rebbe explained this first explanation, the whole first part of the Maimar, of the discourse, and now he's going to explain the second explanation. What does that mean, that through the non-Jews praising God, that generates a new thing, whatever that is, we're going to learn, on the Jews. And the Rebbe is going to finish, basically, that it's not just for Jews, it's also for non-Jews. This thing that we get, so to speak, the Jews get out of the non-Jews praising God. Chapter 5. The explanation of the virtue of the elevation of Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, the last two holidays of Tishrei. On this is written that the kindness of God is so strong upon us. So before moving on, let's remember that we have seven days of Sukkos. We have offerings for the non-Jews, but the last two, or the last, whatever, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah is just the second day of Shmini Atzeres. The last Yom Tov, the last holiday, is just for Jews. So that's where it expresses the idea of Gavar Aleinu Chasdoi, that the kindness of God is so strong on us. That's the last holiday. So non-Jews, nothing to do with us. Get out. Like, this is for us now. What's this whole thing? We're going to understand when we understand what's the virtue of Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah by understanding the difference between Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. What's the difference? In the 7 days of Sukkos, we offer 70 bulls for the 70 nations. We explain this. Which is not the case in Shmini Atzeres. We offer one bull, one ram, for the one people, so to speak, unique people. As the Midrash brings the idea. There's an example of a king that made a meal for 7 days, and he invited all the people of the country in these 7 days of festivity, whatever. When once these 7 days finished, he said, the king said to the one he loves, we fulfilled our obligation with the people of the country. The Rebbe doesn't bring the whole thing. Now let's go, you and me, and let's just party, you and me. This is what the Midrash says. That means, after the work of the Jewish people refining the world, that means the non-Jews, through offering 70 bulls, as I then, there's another thing, something new. As I choizrim b'nei Israel umisachadim, then the Jewish people go back, so to speak, and they get one together, whatever, united with God, in a way that the Jewish people and the king, which is God, are together only. Just the both of them. Just them. God and the Jews. Veloch and Makrivin as par echot. That's why we offer only just one bull. Keneged Uma Yechida. That it's about or regarding whatever in connection to the unique people. Hainu, that means Kifish ibn Israelim le maila mea oilam. This is how the Jewish people are beyond the world, being together with God. That's basically the difference between Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. Okay. Om nam gam b'Shmini Atzeres sheboi nimtzayim Israel u'malka b'l'choidoi. However, so just the fact that the Rebbe starts the paragraphs, however, that is showing you there's something more that's going on over here. Besides what we just said, there's something more. However, even in Shmini Atzeres, that the Jewish people and the king, God, are alone, together, Nasis Peula Ba'olam, this is a Chidush. There's also an effect in the world. Now you might think, okay, you know what? We spent 7 days thinking about non-Jews, refining the world, etc. Now give me 1 day just for me and God. I don't care about the world. I'm going to go to a mountain in Nepal. I don't care about the world. Everybody go away. I just want to be with God. No. Even in that situation of Shmini Atzeres, there nasis pe'ula ba'olam. There's an effect in the world also. Li yis nimshach ve'emes havaye le'olam. That's why the verse ends up saying the truth of God should be projected to the world. That's emes havaye le'olam. The truth of God should be also in the world. What's this thing? What's this effect in the world? Again. There's another example. We're going to understand this with the example of a king that invited to his meal just one person, the one he loves. This is pashut. This is something simple. This idea also has an effect, for sure, says the Rebbe, in all the people of the country. It's interesting. But what's the effect? The effect is that it's recognized on by the people of the land, of the country, etc., that there's no other existence except for the king and the one he loves. Me and you. What does that mean? Hainu. That means there's also a refinement of the world in a higher level, in a higher way than Sukkos. Through the 7 days of Sukkos, we just refine the whole world. So let's do it in a higher way. In which way? That the world gets nullified from its existence. And the Rebbe puts it in Yiddish, es wird ois metzius welt. It becomes no world, no existence, no world. Kol metzius ha'olam, hi ha'metzius shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole existence of the world is the existence of God. Toiru mitzviseha. The Torah, its mitzvahs, shezehu inyan ve'em ha'savai le'olam. This is the idea of the truth of God to the world. That point. The Rebbe is going to explain this, of course. But basically, before the explanation, my introduction, there are two ways of bitul, of nullification. Two ideas in bitul. Bitul ayesh, bitul b'metzius, in Hebrew. Bitul ayesh means annulment of being, something like that. And I'll give you an example, and it's a very simple example. And then the other one is bitul b'metzius, complete nullification. What's the difference? Imagine a teacher of whatever thing, whatever, physics. Teacher teaches physics in the university. So he's teaching, and suddenly comes into the teaching in the room the Nobel Prize of Physics. So the guy just shuts up, doesn't want to say anything, showing respect to this genius of the physics. He doesn't say anything. Please, master, you give the class. I'm not going to say anything. I have nothing to say in front of you. I'm completely battle, nullified. However, the teacher is thinking to himself, wait a second. The truth is, I'm a teacher of physics in the University of Physics. And I know physics. I know. Don't say you don't know anything. Come on. You know. But in front of this guy, I'm nobody. But if this guy leaves the room, hey, wait a second, I'm the teacher over here, and I'm teaching you guys, you don't know anything, I know, and you're going to listen what I say. So what do we have over here? This guy is battled. This guy is nullified in front of course, somebody that knows much more than him, is Nobel Prize, etc., etc. But the truth is that this nullification is Pitula Yesh. He is something. He feels himself something. And the truth is that he knows. That's why he's a teacher in university. He knows physics. And he knows how to teach, etc., etc. In front of somebody else, he's nullified. But he is still in himself. He feels himself something. That's one level of Pitula. Second level of Pitula is, I'm nobody. It doesn't really matter whether I'm in front of somebody who knows more than me or not. I know who I am. I'm nobody. That's Bitul Bemetzius. True nullification. So what the Rebbe is saying is, look, through the 7 days of Sukkos, we offer 70 bulls to refine the nations, and the nations, okay. So the nations get, so to speak, an aliyah, an elevation, through being refined. Very nice. But that's Bitul Ayesh. That's only the first level of nullification. In Shmini Atzeres, the nations get the second level. The nations get something more. What more? You realize that the only thing that exists is God. Forget it. Because after all, the typical phrase of our sages is, if the nations would have known how good the temple was for them, they would have guarded, etc., etc. So after all, you're just looking for your benefit. Who rules over here? The God of Israel. Okay, so let's go to him, let's serve him, and I want to have money, I want to have health, I want to be well. Who can give me this? The God of Israel. So go to the temple and pray. But the whole focus, why do you pray? Because I want. I recognize that this guy, quote unquote, this God can give me, so I'll pray to him. I'm not going to pray to somebody that can't give me anything. So I'll pray to him. But what are you looking for? My benefit. That's Bitul Ayesh. You recognize somebody else is higher than you and can give you, etc., etc. But Shmini Atzeres, that's Sukkos. Shmini Atzeres is something much more deeper. Much deeper. That's why the Rebbe goes like back and forth saying this idea, Metzius, Shekol Metzius Ha'ilom Metzius Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the whole existence of the world, I just went back one line. The whole metzius of the world is the existence of God. The whole existence, only God. Forget it. Now, let's go to the Rebbe's explanation. The idea is like this. The refinement of the world accomplished. In Chag HaSukkos, it's in a way that there is an existence of the world. The world is over there. Yes. But it was refined in order to be like secondary and nullified to sanctity. Yes, we recognize the temple of the Jewish God, etc. Yeah. Just like the example of a king that made a meal and he invited all the people of the country. There is such a thing as people in the country. There's a country, there's people, there's a king, there's a meal, etc. But they are sitting in a meal together with the king. But they are, they exist. And because, in it is paraphrasing a verse, because in the light of the countenance, the face of the king, there's life. Decrying gam hem b'shem chaim, they're also alive. So you're together with the king, therefore you're alive. Like, pray to the God of Israel and you're going to have a lot of money. Okay, so I want that, no problem. V'lochim gam hem mehalilim u'shavchim l'shem. That's why they also praise God. Like the verse says, Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim, shavchu kol ha'umim. All the nations should praise God, etc. But still, they feel their own existence. They are. That means, not only, of course, the way of the mode of refinement, that of that part of the verse, Shabhu Kula Umim, all the nations should praise God. What kind of refinement this refers to? The Kai Adalias Behinazara She Einoi Oilelias Behinaz Primis Akidusha, this refers to the elevation of bad parts that do not elevate themselves to be part of the most innermost part of sanctity. They only get refined to be external in the back, so to speak, of sanctity only. Just as it is written, I think it's Isaiah, and strange people will stand up and will pasture your sheep, whatever. They're only something secondary to the Jewish people, as we explained in the third chapter. Not only in this way of refinement, but even in the way of refinement of the first part of the verse, that is referring to the Kai, referring to al birur bechinas atoiv bilvad, the refinement of the good part only. That gets elevated into the most innermost part of Kedusha. So the Rebbe explained before, just to remind the idea, the Rebbe explained before that there are two types of refinement. One type of refinement is you take the good part and you elevate it, and the bad part just gets lost. And the second part is you elevate the whole thing. So he's explaining in any way of refinement, in any of these two ways, it's a very nice thing. However, still, it's in a way that the world continues being an existence, something important. That's Sukkos. Very good. Which is not the case with the end of the holidays of Tishrei, Shmini Atzeres. Nase birura oilem b'ifen shenikar boishen shum metzius klan midval ha-melech o-yaveh. The refinement is in such a way that it's recognized in the world that there's nothing else except for the king and his beloved. Hainu, that is, Levisha Oilam is bad metziuso legamrei, because the world gets completely nullified in its existence. Bechol metziuso yu metzius shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu teir mitzvos. And the whole existence of the world, a person realizes that it's just God and the Torah and the mitzvahs. That means whatever God wants. And from here, you have projects the strength, the force to work in the refinement of the world, not just in a way of that the intention of all your actions should be towards the heaven, for God, for God's sake, rather in a much deeper way, that in all your ways, you recognize God. This is the whole thing in Hasidus. Doesn't really matter right now. It's two ways of how deep a person can go into his avodas Hashem, into service to God. Yeah, you know, and the Rebbe explains briefly. He underlined this word. Not just that the intention of the action is for the sake of God, but the action itself is not for God. Like the intention of the action. However, if only your intentions is for God, the thing itself remains a mundane thing. Furthermore, the next level, that the behavior of a person, in all the 10 things, don't expect me to remember the 10 things forever, forget it, but the behavior of the person in the worldly things, in all the 10 things that the Rambam counts on, how do you recognize a wise person that is different from the rest of the people, in the way he eats, in the way he walks, in the way he talks, the Rambam mentions 10 things, is in such a way that through them themselves, you start knowing God. Yediyas Hashem, really knowing God. I'll explain in a second. As it's written, you should know the God of your father, Hainu. That means, the things of the world themselves become sanctity. The Rebbe, this is typical in the Maimorim, in the discourses. Of course, the mind of the Rebbe, we cannot even understand too deep for us. He's a Rebbe, that's why he's a Rebbe, but whatever. But the point is, he quotes like sometimes two words from a huge thing that just explaining those two words could take hours. So he's just putting everything together and giving it to you, and you think about it. There's a verse, Ten lechacham v'yechkam oit. Give information to a wise person, and he will be wiser. Like, he will find more and more ideas out of that. What is the Rebbe saying over here? The Rebbe is saying there are two ways of serving God, basically. Those two ways are that the action you do, it's a mundane action, but the intention behind the action is a godly intention, or that the action itself is godly. The action itself is godly. So this is also related to the two levels of bittul, of nullification that the Rebbe explained before. The first level of bittul is that the kavana, the intention for the actions is for God, but the action is not really for God. I feel myself, but I know that the intention is, etc. An example given to this, which is the only one that I found, written in Hasidus, and it's a very difficult example to understand, but that's what it's written. Like, a person can eat. Why do we eat? We don't eat because we enjoy the food. No, that's not the reason why we eat. We eat to have strength to serve God. That's why we eat. That's kol ma'asecha yileshem shemayim. All your actions should be for the sake of heaven. We eat to have strength to serve God. But the food itself, the food itself is not kedusha, it's not sanctity, it's just food. The second way is, eating itself is kedusha, is sanctity. And this you can find, and this is what the only example I saw, the food in Shabbos. Shabbat, for the Jewish people, like, eating is a mitzvah in itself. That's the commandment. Go enjoy, eat. The food itself becomes kedusha. Not the intention behind the eating. No. Okay, but again, the Rebbe is just saying, because in Shmini Atzeres we can reach, at least we have the capacity of reaching a very deep level of connection to God, that's what gives us the strength to serve God throughout the rest of the whole year in these two ways. Reaching the deepest way, which is in all your ways, you should know God. And through this, we reach the plenity, the complete refinement of the world, the way it's going to be in the world to come. And this already happened in history at the moment of the giving of the Torah. As it's written, you were shown to know that God is the Lord, and there's nothing else except Him. You really saw it with your eyes. As it's written, that the whole people, they saw the voices. As the Midrash says, they saw something that in other situations is only heard. And our sages explain, the people used to watch or look to the east, and they heard the words of God saying, I'm God, your Lord, etc. And also to the four directions, like, each part of the world expressed the fact that there's only God. That this happened already, says the Rebbe. It's not something new. The same thing will happen with the existence of the world in the future to come. We will see the strength of the godly actor, so to speak, in the action, in the creation itself. We will see the creator within the creation. As it says in our sages. Our sages say, Bo'ilam azeh im adam hoylech lilkoit te'ina b'shabes. Our sages say that today in this world, if a person goes to pick up a fig in Shabbos, which is forbidden, you cannot do that, for Jews, whatever, the fig is not saying anything. The fig is just there. You're doing an aveira, a transgression, through the fig, and the fig just shuts up. But in the future to come, if a person goes to actually pick a fig in Shabbos from the tree, the fig is going to start screaming, "Today is Shabbos. You can't pick me today." The same thing happens with another idea of our sages. Our sages say that the stones of the house of a person and the different parts, whatever, of the roof of the person, etc., they are testimony for the person. Shenemar, because it's written, this is a verse in Habakkuk, in the prophet, he even mikir tizak, a stone from the wall will start screaming. The kapis me'etzi anena, in a piece of wood from the roof, is going to answer. That means, shemetzius ha'oilo mibe oive shenikar boishen shum metzius acheres milvad elokus. That's basically the idea that the Rebbe is saying, that the existence of the world will be in such a way that it will be recognized that there's no other existence but God, godliness. That's what it means, the end of the verses that we're learning, that the truth of God will be projected into the world. So that means, again, in this chapter, the Rebbe basically brought a new, deeper understanding of the regular understanding of Shmini Atzeres. Regular understanding of Shmini Atzeres is, okay, wait a second, I spent 7 days for the non-Jews, don't bother me anymore, I'm going to spend 1 day for me. That's typical understanding of Shmini Atzeres. And the Rebbe is saying, no, with that day that you spent for you, so to speak, for the Jews, that has an effect in the non-Jews also. That has an effect in the world also. Otherwise, why would the verse finish Emes Avay Le'Olam, the truth of God to the world? Why to the world? To you. I don't care about the world. No. Has to shine, so to speak, in the world. Has to be revealed in the world. That's chapter 5.